Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Google Plus really, really, really loves Android. It gets all the perks. Plus, you can get a job through Facebook's new social app. Spotify's browser app is live. I love it. We'll show you a test drive of that. And Walmart is all about gourmet. What? Yeah, that's true. All that and do you really want to smize yourself? That's all next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 87, recorded Friday, November 16th, 2012. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media in a systematic way with Social Media Solutions from SAP. Learn more at sap.com/twit. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour and get a copy of Brandon Sanderson's Legion, absolutely free, at audible.com/sanderson. And by Ford, featuring available sync. Now you can control your media player with simple voice commands. Enjoy your drive while you easily search and listen to your favorite songs. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Focus and at ford.com/technology. Hey everyone, welcome to another fun-filled episode of The Social Hour from Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California, where it's getting dark outside already because it's standard time. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and it has been dark outside for a while now. I have to say, this is one of my least favorite times of the year when it is dark this early. I'm not a big fan of it. And people like more daylight in the morning. I'd like more daylight at night, but I don't have a say in these things, Sarah.
I know. I try to be positive about these sorts of things because it is usually this time of year that I start getting really cold all the time and just crabby in general. It's like, it's just, we're like night people. But I do wake up really early in the morning. So I will say the silver lining of the dark evenings is that at least when I wake up at 6:30, I see the sunshine. Well, yes. I see at least some lightness outside where I used to wake up and it was pitch black for another hour. So,
yeah, I guess that's no fun if you get up at 6:30. I do not.
Well,
get up at 6:30.
Isn't that nice for you, Amber?
I should probably.
You're the one who has a toddler. How am I getting up earlier than you every morning?
Oh, he did. You know what? He goes to bed really late. He has always been like that. So he goes to bed. Maybe earliest, I hate to say it, is 10 o'clock. And I know that's really late, but he still naps in the afternoon. So that's part of it. So he goes to bed at 10 and then maybe he gets up between 7:30 and 8. So I usually take advantage of that because I tend to stay up quite late. It's just a bad habit I've gotten into over the years, although I do have to get up really early sometimes. But I'm not a huge fan of it. But nonetheless, Sarah, I'm happy that you get to have some more sunshine in your mornings.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I guess so.
I like it too. But yeah, it's just a trade-off. There's less sunshine for everybody, right, this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're in the opposite hemisphere. And that's a whole different story. We're not going to get into geography on the show. But we are going to talk about a lot of social stories. We've got some top stories of the week. And by the way, we should say off the top, this show, we're actually recording a little bit ahead of time. We have a Thanksgiving holiday that we're taking into account. So we are shooting this week's show earlier. So some of the stories that we may talk about, they are new right now. And they might be a week or two old by the time you hear them, or maybe you'll be hearing about them for the first time, but hopefully our discussion will keep them as relevant as ever.
As fresh as ever, yes.
As fresh as we can make it, given that we're shooting around a few holidays. And if you're watching this after Thanksgiving, which you will be, and you live in the U.S. and celebrated it, I hope you had a very nice turkey day.
Yeah.
So our first story, this is actually great for anybody who's on Google Plus who also is interested in the Android operating system. Jason, our technical director, would be one of those people. Google is now allowing Google Plus users to install Android applications directly from their Google Plus stream.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I have to say I love this.
Yeah,
I really think this is super cool. I noticed this yesterday. A friend of mine had posted on Google Plus that this was an option to be able to do this. And I love this feature. I mean, it just, again, it makes me realize I should be spending more time in Google Plus. And I say this every single show that we have Sarah, and I still don't find the time to go there. But I really should, because I use an Android phone. I love a lot of the different apps that are out there, and I love learning about new apps. So this is just another reason I should try to get back into the mix on Google Plus.
Yeah, so I guess the way that it works is if I were to decide to update something in Google Plus and I had a direct link to, you know, Instagram, for example. This is one of the examples that the Next Web gives in the article about this. You just go ahead and link that in your update as usual, and obviously Google Plus and Facebook works the same way too, is smart enough to go, yes, you're going to link to something, so let me pull an image that's associated with that. And it's pulling from the Instagram image that's in the Google Play Store. So not only do you see that, but then you've got a nice little handy-dandy install now that works really well. And if you want to send to a different device, then you go ahead and choose the device that you want to install Instagram to right from Google Plus. Now, Amber, you have an Android device.
I do.
I do not. I am an iOS user. So for me, I can definitely see, this is not something that bothers me, but I can definitely see people saying, oh, this is Google just pushing, you know, their own platform. This is, you know, this is dominant Google, and this is why they get in trouble with antitrust types of things, because not only do they bake Google Plus into everything now, but now they make it easier only for their kinds of applications to be displayed in Google Plus. But the thing is this is Android is an open platform, so I don't know I can see where people could get bent out of shape about this if it's not something that benefits them. But in general, I think Google Plus can use all the cool stuff that it rolls out, right? I mean, it is Google's platform, and Android is a Google platform as well.
And it's not as though it's overly intrusive. You know, it's not going to change the experience for people who use Google Plus who aren't Android users. So I don't think that is an overwhelming issue that people have to worry about. But I do think it just makes sense. I mean, one of the things I've always found with the Android marketplace is that at times discovery becomes more difficult. People tend to talk less about Android apps than iOS apps. That's just been my experience. So the discovery process becomes so important if you want to be able to download new apps. And one of the best places to find out about them is through a social network, and Google Plus kind of fits that need. So I was super excited to hear this, and I think it's a really good fit for Google Plus. So I will take advantage of it. I just got the Samsung Galaxy Note 2 recently, which is like their big phone that is like a mini tablet. And I have to say, I love it. So I'll be trying some of this stuff out on that.
Okay, so this is interesting. So this is what some people deem the phablet version of...
I wasn't going to say phablet, but thank you for saying it.
I think everyone agrees, like, I hate phablet. But then if you say that, people are like, oh, yeah, that's what the Galaxy Note 2
is. You get what it is, right?
Yeah, and you love it, huh? It's not too big for you.
Well, I don't use it as a primary device. So it's one of those things where if I know I'm going to be waiting somewhere and I still have my main phone on me, then I like to bring it along instead of maybe an iPad, because an iPad is kind of big. So it's still small enough that I can bring it with me and has a large enough screen that I can feel like I'm getting some work done. But it's not too large that it becomes bulky. So I don't know if I would just use that for my primary phone. But I think as an all-in-one device, it becomes very useful if you want to get work done on the go.
Very cool.
That would be my first impression of it. I've been using it for a few days now. So far, so good.
Well, that's awesome. You know, by the time I get my iPad mini when I'm 95 years old, no, actually it's happening. It's coming next week, but I will be out of town. So I'm going to get it in a week or so from now. We can kind of compare and contrast.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Because I think what I'm going to love about the mini, or at least what everyone else does, is that it's just a lot more portable. It's more of an on-the-go device, and I'm pretty entrenched in iOS now, so I like the idea of not having to start anew, but it's not the same thing as the note, because the note is, you know, it's also a phone as well. So there's, you know, that you've, there's,
yeah,
it's you know, two it's products that do yeah. some of the same things, but are extremely different.
Yeah, and the screen is, you know, significantly smaller on the note, but I do think you can put them almost in the same category. All right, Sarah. So something that I think we always love to talk about on the show. We know there are lots of people who are looking for new work potentially, and so they'll be happy to hear about Facebook's new social jobs app to be able to find listings. Basically, based on this article, it looks like as of late, you can search more than 1.7 million job listings from different sites out there, including some of the big ones like Monster.com. And I know a lot of people are using social networks to find work, so it just makes sense that there's an even better way to do it on Facebook.
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/socialjobs, I've got it up here. You mentioned Monster, Amber, Work for Labs, JobVite, US Jobs, Branch Out. Branch Out is a very popular Facebook app. This is really cool. So the social jobs partnership, it's kind of just an aggregate of all of the job listings that you might be able to access through a variety of the services that try to put people into particular jobs. So if I'm like, you know, media, location, San Francisco, within, I mean, how much would I like to drive? I mean, I drive 45 miles now. What if I'm like, you know what? I want a new job. I want to go between, you know, 20 miles. And, you know, my category, if I say media, well, you know, I want to be more specific. What am I really? I have no idea what I do. Editorial media journalism. Yeah, that's good. And
it
then,
works.
Yeah, we go into sort of like general other. I'm always other. We'll just say journalism, right? And then there are veteran friendly jobs as well, if that's interesting to you. And then if I go ahead and search, right away, this is very snappy. I've got a variety of jobs here that are possibly meet my requirements, or, you know, I meet the jobs requirements, and then I can look from there. So this is all information that you could get by going to a variety of these job seeking companies directly. It's just a place to look at a bunch of them all together. And it's on Facebook. So if you are looking for a new job and you don't have one and you're hanging out on Facebook, it's like a good thing to, I don't know, check into regularly. You know, if you're looking to move on or just see what else is out there and be able to negotiate for a higher salary or something.
Yeah, and remember, as much as you can look for jobs on Facebook, that's also where people are researching you on Facebook. So be careful what you post there. That's my little PSA for this show.
Yes, that's a very good point. Analyst needed for media and entertainment at Accenture in San Francisco. Well, I know a lot about media and entertainment.
No, Sarah, don't go.
I'm just kidding.
Don't go.
I'm just kidding. It doesn't actually have a whole lot of information here, but I could go ahead and view it on Branch Out. And then, yeah. And then tell someone else that I know that needs a job, hey, you should be an analyst. There you go.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. Very useful.
Yeah.
All right. So another thing that is also useful, this is pretty interesting. I think we talked about this recently on the show about eBay having a same-day delivery service in San Francisco. They have now launched the service as well, or they're bringing the service to New York City. So a lot of people in Manhattan will probably be happy to hear about this, especially as we creep up on the holiday season.
Yeah, this is this is the sort of service that I think eBay, it's called eBay Now, and of course it's an eBay product, and this is an app where you can order a variety of items from large retails like Macy's, Target, Walgreens, Best Buy, Toys R Us. These are brands that eBay has a partnership with, and have the items delivered to you for a small premium within a certain amount of time. So if I was to order some HDMI cables or something that I needed from Best Buy, I'm just like, oh, I really don't want to go down there, kind of a thing, or I don't have one of those stores close enough to me for it to be easy to jump in the car, I could basically get them delivered. So that's pretty cool. That's the idea behind eBay Now. And yeah, they had rolled it out in San Francisco officially a few weeks ago. They started testing it a few months ago, which I think is when, Amber, you and I talked about it. I think eBay Now is it's weird because I still have an issue because I think of eBay as just an auction site, even though I know you can buy new things on eBay. So I understand that it's expanded from there, but eBay now, it still doesn't sound like, oh, you can get something from a retailer that's brand new within a short amount of time. But anyway, that's, you know, who knows? That might just be our problem. But it's pretty cool that they're opening it up to New York City. Obviously, this has a lot to do with holiday shopping and people saying, the last thing I want to do is go down to Toys R Us right now and stand in line with all the kids and the mess and the noise and everything, but I've got to get the stuff. So I think that this is the perfect time of year, especially in urban areas where it gets a little crazy at some of the brick-and-mortar retailers. And, you know, they'd be competing with Amazon because there's a little bit of a, you know, you get that immediacy thing, too. I mean, Amazon still isn't doing same-day service. They can do next-day service. But if it's something that's like, I got to get this present, I got to get this, you know, we're about to go out of town tomorrow, that sort of thing, eBay now starts to look pretty attractive.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. His name's Doug Stevens. He goes by @RetailProfit on Twitter, and he talks all the time about the future of retail and what's happening right now and how much there are these major shakeups in the industry. And I think this is just one example of that. You know, the idea that you can go and order something online and you can get it the same day, this is going to have an impact if a lot of people start using it on some of the malls and stores that are around as far as just being that much more convenient. So I would use a service like this. I don't need to go into a toy store or another store to necessarily look and touch what I want to buy if I have a sense of what it is that I'm trying to get, especially with specific items, you know, like toys and other things that are pretty straightforward. So I'm a big fan of all of these services. The less I have to go into the mall, the happier I am, Sarah.
Yes, I am totally with you there. I am all about services that make it easier for me. I haven't used eBay now yet. It's so funny. I was listening to the radio the other day, and you know how sometimes they'll have like morning shows that they'll have a little segment that's like, and now for your tech minute. Or, you know, this is what's going on the internet type of thing. Well, anyway, one of the morning shows that I listen to sometimes does this. And they were talking about the service and how great it is. And the guy had ordered something from Best Buy the night before. It was like a flat screen TV or something. You know, and he was talking about how great it was. And you could you can tell that these aren't actually people who are in the business of tech regularly. They were just trying out this app. I don't know. This is this cool thing that, you know, the tech people are talking about. So I thought, yeah, I can see where this is just, I mean, it's ultra convenient. And you pay a little bit of a premium. And I believe that like the first three things that you get shipped as a new customer, the shipping's free. So, you know, there's definitely an incentive to give it a whirl. Again, San Francisco and New York to start, but it sounds like they'll be rolling out to other cities.
Other cities.
Too.
So speaking of Amazon, Amazon also, aside from doing things like being able to ship on the same day to some cities, is also launching video gift cards in partnership with JibJab. I've been using JibJab for the past few years. I think it's just so much fun. The idea that you can create these personalized greetings for certain holidays or birthdays or whatever it might be, and you can insert people's faces into these interactive videos. Well, now you can do that when you're giving someone a gift card. I personally think this is pretty cool. Seems really fun. I could see a lot of people doing it, especially if you tend to give a lot of gift cards out during the holidays, and having that JibJab component will just make it that much more fun.
I'm kind of like, I don't understand how it works, Amber. So you buy something for someone, and then this is something that ends up in like the email receipt that they get?
Okay, I'm guessing it works like this. So let's say, Sarah, I want to buy you, I want to give you a $50 gift card to Amazon for the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
And to do something fun, I put your picture, Leo's picture, and, you know, maybe some other people who work at Twit into this interactive video card, and it's just kind of fun. And
Then
you get the card. So instead of me just sending you a message like, hey, Sarah, it's been great working with you this year, you get a fun personalized video card that hopefully is more entertaining than just a standard message or email.
Yeah, because the gift card is the gift, right? So you're it's like you decorated a little something on top of, you know, giving someone, you know, a $50 bill or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm understanding in terms of how it works.
I like this. Yeah, so Amazon says that they have about 50 templates. They cover about 12 different occasions, so it's not just holiday oriented. It's oriented. You know, Christmas, holidays, birthdays. The gift cards themselves are what Amazon has already offered. You can load a gift card up to $2,000. And ooh, wow, $2,000. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I got a $500 gift card once and I was like, oh my God, this will last forever.
Sweet.
It actually went pretty quick, but it seemed like a lot at the time. And yeah, this is pretty cool. You can post you wouldn't post the gift card to a social network, but I guess you can, this is the sort of thing where, you know, on JibJab, you can create something and then spread it around. So it's just that same idea. And it actually, I mean, they're so silly, but they always make me laugh.
Oh yeah, they're so silly, but they're fun. They do a really good job of them. And I think pretty much every time I've sent them out, there's always someone laughing.
Oh, I see. You can, this is where I was going. The gift card could be posted to the recipient's Facebook wall as a way of sort of presenting it. Obviously, there's only one person that could redeem the gift card. But if you were really proud of the creation that you made, you could, you know, sort of like delight and embarrass them at the same time by posting it to their Facebook wall.
I like the embarrassing.
I like it too. Oh, goodness. All right. What is next in our news? Oh, we're at the end of our news, at least for this show. We've got so much more in the show, though, so don't worry about it. We're just, you know, we got to at least try to keep our show somewhat close to an hour. And, of course, I just closed my rundown because I have way too many tabs open.
But, yeah, this is just a reminder for people to where they can find us. So we record the Social Hour on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and our website is twit.tv/TSH, and people can email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. We are recording this in advance, as Sarah mentioned before, but all of the news that we have in the rundown and all of the things are stuff that can be used at any time. So that's the good news.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you for helping me when I'm here for you, Sarah. I looked down and I had no tech. And I was like, what do I say? What do I do?
You know, I'm far away, Sarah, but I'm right beside you in spirit.
Oh, Amber, you are the best. See, that's why I would never have anybody else host the Social Hour with me besides you. See? It's like you're here again with me. I can feel the warmth.
I am. My presence is everywhere.
I can feel the T-dot warmth. If you watch us live, thanks so much. But if you don't, you know, you can watch the show or listen to the show, audio feed. We want you to enjoy the show however you want. Twit.tv/THS is the way that you can keep up with us. And thanks to everybody who does each week. Let's take a moment to take a little break and thank SAP for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour, Social Media Solutions. What does it mean? Well, when you're coming from SAP, it means something that's going to help your business. Do you work in social for an enterprise company? Does that sound like you? If so, you want to listen to what SAP has as a social media solution, truly. That's actually why they call it what they call it. Because people are talking about your brand publicly. They're tweeting about it. They're sharing an experience with friends on their Facebook wall. They are writing long blog posts about a particular experience that they might have had in one of your retail stores or online or with customer service, all that kind of stuff. People just, you know, they're used to talking about it publicly. So this is the sort of thing, it becomes a challenge as a company. You know, you're not necessarily getting technical support emails going directly to you. You've got to find all of that feedback and figure out what to do with it. That's why Social Media Solutions is actually very, very helpful. Because this stuff can get out of control, you know? You've got tweets coming out of your ears. What are you going to do with all of it? And, oh, you've got a team, and who's on this case? And is John going to handle this? And well, we've got a sort of an angry person on Twitter here. How do we deal with all this stuff? The listening component tries to make sense of all the data that you have coming in to your enterprise business and helps you build better products because you can have real-time customer feedback coming in from your customers, but then going back out so that your efforts are put to better use. You can identify customers who are ready to buy your product. You know, if you're selling stuff, there are buying signals that people send out via social media. You can kind of intercept that, and you can certainly do it with a part of what SAP has built in Social Media Solutions called Natural Language Processing. This is so cool. I mean, talk about AI. This is intelligently processing the difference between statements that people make. One of the, you know, most popular statements, we love to use this one because they're really two different things. This service has never been good means I've never liked the service, right? But if you say this service has never been this good, well, that sounds a lot like the first sentence, but it means something totally different. It means, that customer seems like maybe they used to be not so happy with us and something's gone well and we need to make a note of that. Well, what happens when you do make notes of this? That's where the engaging component comes in. Social Media Solutions has an engaging component as well. Once you've listened, you can improve customer support because you can set rules about which messages are being routed to who's on your team that takes care of customer support or takes care of feedback or is the person who should be collecting design type tweets or Facebook messages or that sort of thing. If you're not the tech support person, someone can tweet and you could say, "Oh, I'm so sorry you're experiencing this," and well, but that other person needs to be getting this. And sometimes it can sort of turn into an inefficient mess, right? So that's where Social Media Solutions is supposed to help you out. You get accurate, real-time understanding of your brand's social media performance. If you work for a large regional or national enterprise, you definitely want to get in touch with them. Go to sap.com/twit and get a better sense of what Social Media Solutions can do for your business. If you are a social media manager and think, man, there's got to be a better way, then I think you're a perfect candidate for sap.com/twit. Check it out and let us know what you think. By the way, I think we mentioned in a previous show, if this is something that's working for you, we'd love to hear from someone who actually works in the enterprise who might be using SAP's products. Give us a better sense of how it works and how we could pass it along to our audience. Okay, Amber, all right. Got a social tip from you this yes. week.
Okay, so I think this is really cool. Not yet available in my city, unfortunately. However, for anyone who takes frequent trips to the airport and sometimes gets a town car or maybe just a taxi and wants a better way to head there and be able to split what it costs with another individual, there's a service out there called SharePorter. And the idea behind the service, it's quite simple. Let's say you've booked a town car to go to the airport and you know exactly what time you're leaving. You can put that information into SharePorter. And then if there's someone else who's in the same area who's also looking for a taxi to the airport, then they could potentially come on, jump in with you, and you can split the ride. So a very simple service that makes sense because a lot of people take taxis on their own and it just could be more economical for everyone involved.
I love this. This is something that you think that you would use?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it makes perfect sense, right? It just, you know, if you take a taxi pretty much from most airports that I end up going to, it's at least $50 or $60. So mm-hmm. for an easy way to really cut that cost, I think this is a great option if you want to save some cash.
Yeah, especially since, I mean, what are the other options? I mean, I haven't heard of anyone using the AirPorter lately, but that's a service that shuttles to and from the airport, the international airport that I use most often in San Francisco. But it's mm-hmm. always like, well, yeah, there's a shuttle and you ride it with a bunch of other people, but you're not necessarily coming from the same place at all. So depending on who gets picked up before or after you, you might go really out of the way and you got to mm-hmm. you got to arrange to have a lot more time built into getting to or from. So yeah, this makes a lot more sense. Hey, are we going to similar places? I mean, you're in a taxi cab, so... It's not like, I mean, I guess maybe some people just really like to ride alone. But in general, I like to save money, so...
Sure. And if you know that if you go on there, maybe you're not going to use the service every single time. But if you go on there and you find out that someone in your neighborhood has booked a car at the exact same time, it's a good option to be able to participate and use a tool like this. So I think it's relatively new. There's a web service and I believe there's an app as well. And I love tools like this. You know, maybe it's not perfect right out of the gate, but I think there's a real need for something like this. And that's where I think it can help.
So shareporter.com, and it's S-H-A-I-R Porter.
Yes.
So sort of like AirPorter with an S-H on the front of it.
Exactly. Clever.
Isn't that clever?
Sir.
Yep. I see what they did there. That's a great tip. That is awesome. You know, we talked about, I think we did, certainly talked about it on one of the shows I do on Twit, Medium, which was
the
new publishing platform. They don't even really call it blogging anymore. Publishing platform from Ev Williams, who was one of the founders of Twitter, of course, and his team. BizTone, I believe, is also part of the Medium project. But anyway, we talked about it like, this looks kind of cool. They had some sort of like example pub posts that you could look at if you went to medium.com and just get a sort of a sense of what they intended to roll out. And Amber, I was lucky enough because I had said, please do alert me when I can get in to get into the service. So now I actually have publishing rights, which is really cool. I haven't done anything with it yet, but I'm like, oh, awesome. This is actually something that I can use. So I figured we could sort of revisit this and just give people a sense of what the folks at Medium are working on. Ev Williams actually wrote a post giving people a little bit better understanding of what do they want to accomplish with a new publishing platform. Ev Williams, by the way, also worked at Blogger, and which was, of course, acquired by Google. So publishing is very near and dear to him. You know, he kind of went long form, then he went very short form with Twitter, and now it's sort of like, what's next? He says, what's really, really cool about Medium is the fact that it's sort of true WYSIWYG, which means it's not like he's just seeing an editor. It's that he's seen the exact page that he's going to publish as he's writing it. So it's not sort of like, you know, WordPress is a great example. You know, you sort of compose the post that's going to look a lot different when you publish it, depending on what kind of design you use. He says what they like about Medium is that there's no sort of other layer or conceptual. You are seeing the exact, you know, sort of virtual piece of paper as you write on it that the next person that you show the piece of paper to will also see. So that's kind of cool. He says that there's just a small amount of formatting, not too much, just enough. So, you know, if you hover over some highlighted text, for example, you've got some very simple links and, you know, to make the text formatted and this and that. And then it kind of goes into what you can expect from the team. So if I just go back to the homepage here at Medium, I now, as somebody who has access to this, I can see on their homepage, these are a variety of posts that people who also have access have already contributed. What's neat is that, so yeah, I love some of the stuff. A lot of this is, it's kind of geek-oriented content, but not all of it, because I spent some time looking through some of the posts most recently. And I think that this is a little bit of a mishmash right now because, again, not that many people have access to Medium. So they're just giving you an overview of these are the sorts of posts that you could make type of a thing. But if I wanted to start come on, computer, don't die on me yet. I know it's Friday afternoon. If I wanted to start, let's say, a new collection, this is where I can name a collection. I can drag drag and drop a photo that would sort of represent my collection. Let's say it was going to be like, I don't know, a collection of, you know, short stories about cats or something like that. So I can pick a photo, name my collection, you know, sort of as Ev was saying, there's not a lot of formatting here, right? I mean, I'm done. That's it. Okay, next. And then, you know, I'm sort of off and running from, Kitty's RS. Cats rule. Okay. All right. And yeah, so this is sort of like watching paint dry here. But I love this idea. I think that the more I see from Medium, the more I get, sort of inspired to get back in there. And I don't know, maybe there's a story that I feel like should be told or that sort of thing. I don't know, Amber. I really am always appreciative of any time we see the publishing platform sort of reimagined.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of vague, but I get excited about this because I feel like even if I'm not contributing that much, I might be starting to read some really cool stuff because other people were inspired to join the platform.
I know. And I think, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, Sarah, but I always feel like I'm just waiting for the next big tool to hit. It feels like it's been a while since we've had something. I mean, I think Pinterest is probably the last thing that's become very popular, and not necessarily saying it's going to be Medium, but I think the reality is there's room for something out there that maybe captures our attention. And, you know, this is just one example of what it could be, right? So it's different and maybe not everybody's using it, but who knows, it could be a winner over the long term.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, we'll see. You know, it's going to be free, at least at first. I assume that the team would be interested in monetizing, but at least at first, this is just something that should be rolled out to folks in the coming weeks and months, but I figured it was worth checking in with them again.
I mentioned.
Yeah.
And Sarah, for our next story, also a spotlight, I have to admit I'm not a big Spotify user. I have probably tried it out before, but don't use it on a regular basis. But based on this new story, Spotify has just launched a test version of a browser-based player. So kind of interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So this is kind of fun. I saw the story on The Verge, and I got kind of excited, even though I'm not really a hardcore Spotify user. I appreciate internet streaming services. And the thing with Spotify is that it never had a browser-based way to use the service. So, you know, you sign up and you download for, you know, like PC or Mac. And I think they actually have a Linux application as well. But that's actually, an app that's running on your system. And then, of course, you can, you know, have the Spotify app on a variety of mobile platforms. So that's fine, but why not just a browser-based? And for people who are like, I just want to open a tab and have my Spotify up and running. So there's a link in the Verge article that, because it said, it looks like some folks have access to this, at least as of a couple of days ago. So I went ahead and figured out through a Facebook link to the Spotify app. I don't know, it was sort of wonky how I got here. But indeed, I am in the Spotify browser-based beta version, and it's great. I have to say, I am always singing RDO's praises. RDO is a Spotify competitor, RDIO, even though Spotify is a much bigger company, because I think that RDO is top dog when it comes to design. But this is really nice. This is Spotify's browser interface. So I've got new recommended albums for me. This is based on stuff that I like and friends that I'm connected to, because, of course, Spotify has that social element, particularly with my Facebook friends. Trending playlists, top tracks among my friends, Kesha and Rihanna. And okay, so that's what my friends are listening to, of course. That's actually what I was listening to yesterday, so it makes perfect sense. New releases. That's just in general, artists that now have new albums that are available on Spotify. Top tracks in my country. And that's kind of interesting. I sort of like this. This is sort of like silly data. It's like, what are the top tracks in my country as opposed to the top tracks that are actually geolocated to be near me, which is, it's almost like trending topics on Twitter, you know? What's trending in San Francisco versus the U.S. versus the world? Because they're not always the same thing. And if I am searching for a particular song, I go ahead and search. If you just want a quick link to what's new, there's that too. Spotify Radio is sort of a new initiative where Spotify, it's kind of a Pandora-like thing. So depending on the sorts of music that I like, I can say, yeah, let's do sort of like a Rihanna-type station. And then I can thumbs up and down what Spotify tries to guess I would like to listen to, and it gets smarter over time. And then, of course, I can create playlists. So nothing out of the ordinary as far as Spotify is concerned, but it is a very nice browser interface. I like it a lot. I'm not always interested in launching, you know, something in OS X. So yeah, this seems great. It is in beta, so it's clearly not perfect, and it hasn't rolled out to everybody. But if you're a Spotify user and you don't have it yet, keep checking, because I think it will be there soon.
Very cool. Sarah, I know we have a message from Audible right now, but also some great stuff coming up after, including a Big Bang Theory flash mob, which I can't wait to check out.
So you know what's kind of crazy about that, Amber? Well, okay. We'll take a break first, and then I'll tell you how I came across this myself. Amber mentioned Audible, and it's always fun when we get to talk about Audible because Audible is fun. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks. And you say audiobooks? Is that what I think it sounds like? Yes, exactly. It's over 100,000. Think about that. Over 100,000 downloadable titles of audiobooks. These are all sorts of audiobooks. Literature, fiction, nonfiction, even some periodicals. If there's a book that you love, like you've like read it a million times, why not give it a spin on Audible? That's actually one of the ways that I got turned on to audiobooks because I was not really convinced that I was an audiobook person. You know, I just wasn't sure. So I actually I picked a book that I had already read. So, and I knew it really well. So I was able to compare the two. And that was when I was like, you know what? This is really fun. This is actually, it's a very different experience. You know, it's you have somebody reading you the book. You can search for a variety of titles, whatever you want to search for, and see if, you know, the book that you want is at Audible. And it probably is, again, with 100,000 titles. You're probably going to be hard-pressed to find something that isn't there. Looks like Jason is searching for Keith Richards, his autobiography.
Oh, that's Life. So good.
Have you listened to it?
I have not listened to it, but I should because that would be fantastic. I've read the book, and it's really good.
Yeah, I have. It's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, it's great.
What's neat about this book, and this is, I'm so glad that you searched for this, Jason. I was sort of drawing a blank because I was explaining how great Audible was, is that it's narrated by Johnny Depp. And, you know, Keith Richards and Johnny Depp are sort of simpatico these days. You know, they say that Pirates of the Caribbean character was based on Keith Richards, and then they're kind of friends, and he inspires him, and Johnny Depp has such a great voice, and so it's sort of like, that is the coolest thing. I mean, it's a story about Keith Richards that's narrated by one of my favorite actors, and it's like this voice that's really familiar, and what fun! That is just awesome. So, and this is all the kind of stuff that you can get on Audible. Now, of course, that's a nonfiction autobiography. You can go straight up novella. You can get lost in the, you know, the Hunger Game books or 50 Shades of Grey.
Of course, if you haven't already read it.
Yeah, which I haven't. You know, I'm waiting till I, you know, go on a really long road trip alone so that I don't, you know, scare whoever, you know, would be in my passenger seat. But yeah, I mean, these are audiobooks. Sometimes the authors read their own books. Sometimes an author will say, you know what, Johnny Depp is narrating my book. Nobody else is going to do it. So you get these narrators who are just very good at what they do.
I just started the I Want My MTV, the Uncensored Story of the Music Video Revolution.
That's,
and it's
so cool.
Awesome. I'm about 4 hours into it. It's pretty long. It's about 20 hours.
Yeah.
It is great.
20 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah, if you lived through that time, it's a good blast of the past.
Yeah. That's the great thing, too. It's, in a way, you can... You know, if you're in your car or you're taking a walk, you know, you put your headphones in and it's sort of this delightful story. But you can also get a lot of stuff done at the same time. You know, that's almost the, you know, the main reason that I like audiobooks so much is that I get very tired at the end of the day. And sometimes it's hard for me to get through a book and I feel like my brain is turning into mush. And this is a way to keep up on a lot of stuff that you're interested in reading wise. By the way, you can get a copy of Brandon Sanderson's Legion. This is absolutely free at audible.com/Sanderson. That's S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. There's no, like, this is like apart from, a, you know, any fun little trial or anything. This is just a book that Audible is giving as a gift to listeners and viewers of The Social Hour. But you said, well, wait a second. What trial? What gift? Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. Another one, actually. So if you're like, okay, Sarah, you've sort of convinced me, but I don't want to like get roped into any sort of subscription thing until I know that it's really worth it to me. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour, you can download Jason's MTV Revolution book or Keith Richards' Life absolutely for free, or any book of your choice, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. 99.5% of books are single credit, by the way, and those are the kind of books that you can get for free. There's a very select few that are two credit, so that actually doesn't apply to the free book. But again, vast majority of them, probably the book that you want, you can find there. So have fun. Let us know what you picked. And thanks again to Audible for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour.
This I have not seen, Sarah, I will say. Big Bang Theory Flash Mob. I'm not sure who sent this to you or if it's something you stumbled across, but it looks pretty interesting based on the screenshot.
Yeah, a friend of mine, actually my friend Trish, who was not necessarily sending this to the Social Hour, she just sent it to me, and I was like, The Big Bang Theory is such a cute show. I mean, I really like it. Actually, I got into The Big Bang Theory after it was already syndicated. So it's like I'm watching sort of old episodes, and then I decided it's adorable. So it looks like this is it's a behind the scenes. What are they doing here? I'm watching this for the very first time. Oh, so it's a live taping. That's really cute.
Hilarious.
So people go to a live taping of The Big Bang Theory, and then all of a sudden, the cast and crew are wondering what's happening. And it's a flash mob. See, flash mobs are still cool. Are they?
Hilarious.
I love it.
I think if you're there, especially.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Aww.
This was on, somebody's Facebook page, I guess. This is how it was shared with me. That's really adorable. And look, and then they go back to, okay, and let's go back to scene 5.
Hilarious.
So good. I like that. I like those people. That's a sitcom and knows how to have fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's hilarious. Very cool. All right. So this is not necessarily fun. However, I think it's a question that we've had before on the show and a really important question for anyone who's managing social media efforts for growing your own brand or growing the brand of a business. This is from Ken Yonker. He says, "Hi, Amber and Sarah. Love your show. Listen often while driving on my internet radio app. I am looking to increase the number of likes on the business page and increase the number of video views from YouTube. I have been successful at making a cool video or TV ad hit around 1,000 views in a few business days by sharing on Facebook and Twitter, but I'd like to get these numbers much higher. Any suggestions?" So like I said, Sarah, really common, I think, email that we end up getting on the show. Also wrote some advice to Ken as far as how to do that. I think there's a couple of different things you can do, but probably the most important is to make sure that if you are producing a video, to share it across as many social media sites that you're registered on, just to try to use a really large network to push your video content out there. Also, if you can make sure that you interact really heavily on tools like Twitter and instead of just posting once a day, you know, maybe you want to think about posting much more than that. My experience has been with a lot of companies and individuals who are using these tools is, as much as it may annoy some of the users, they think, oh, posting that much is really irritating or frustrating. The reality is sometimes your message gets missed in terms of all of the content that is out there. So it's okay if you have to post it more than once, and the people who don't like it, maybe they'll stop following you, but you could gain more traction. So sometimes it's just the degree as far as how much you're interacting and posting your message and your link out there as far as getting traction.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, there's a video that I produced with, just like a freelance thing recently about big data. And it was with an outside company, and we put together a video, and they sent me the link when they were done with it, because I was just sort of the interviewer, and I tweeted it, and at the time, it was just a YouTube link at the time, there were like, I don't know, a few hundred views, and I tweeted it, and because I didn't want to go overboard, and I checked a day later, and there were a few hundred more views, and it's like, man, I mean, from all of the people who I supposedly reach on Twitter, some people never saw the tweet. Some people
I never saw it, yeah.
Yeah, you never saw the tweet. So there's that. Some people are like, I sort of see the synopsis of what Sarah's saying. It's like, I'll come back to this, and sort of just like they see it, but they don't do anything about it. And then I think there are the people who are like, that just doesn't sound interesting. I don't want to click on this. I am making a conscious decision to not take the call to action that you've asked me to take. And that's just the way it goes, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, if I were to tweet that link out a few more times, yeah, you'd see the numbers go up. But then you also have to make sure that you're not sort of overly bugging those people who are like, I saw it, I just didn't want to do anything. So it's a delicate balance. And I think it's sometimes it can be really frustrating for people who make content, and particularly video, because you look at your video numbers and you're like, why? This doesn't make sense. I mean, bigger. The engagement feels so low. But again, it can be, people are busy. They have so much information coming in. And I think that you have to have realistic expectations about how many people are, you know, going to click on everything that you decide to share.
Yeah, I mean, another piece of advice, too, is maybe people aren't watching it. Maybe it's really not resonating with people or being shared because it's too long. This is an issue that I think a lot of companies face, is that they produce these videos, they invest a lot of time and energy in them, and they're like 3 or 4 minutes long. Increasingly, as we come to a mobile society where we're watching so much on smartphones and tablets, the reality is you want to shorten the length of that video so that it's more easily shareable. I probably have mentioned this stat on the show before, but I will mention it again because sometimes people forget. I had an experience talking to someone who works at Facebook who said the most common or the most popular length of videos that are shared on Facebook is 60 seconds. So if your video is a minute or less, there's a better chance it will probably be shared more often. If it's longer than that, people just lose interest. So think about the length of your video when you're going out there. That could be part of the reason that maybe it's not getting as many views.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that sort of goes for a show like The Social Hour. For the most part, we try to keep it to an hour or very close to that. And that's a whole different thing. You know, he doesn't mention how long, Ken doesn't mention how long some of these, you know, cool videos are that he's been experimenting with. But, you know, for something like this show, this is a very specific kind of show. I mean, we figure people want to, you know, where they're watching or they're listening and they're maybe doing other things. Yeah. And there's a little bit of like, hey, I'm kind of going to hang out as the show moves along. And that's a very different experience than, ooh, YouTube video, open up. An hour, 10 minutes? I don't have time for that.
You're
I don't know what I'm getting into. Yeah. So
yeah, it's never a good thing. So hopefully that helps. Ken, let us know if that was helpful at all. And also, I don't know if he sent you a link to any of his videos, but next time send a video. So maybe we could analyze it and look at it on the show and think of something that you could do differently. So that would be fun too.
Yeah, that would be good. Send us stuff, Ken.
That would be
helpful. Say that you're creative and we want to see it.
So we want to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, so for our video, campaign of the week in the social media space, wanted to talk about this new launch from Walmart. This is a little bit different, but I think we've talked about services like this before. There have been many of them. The idea that you pay a subscription service for a box of goods or goodies, whatever you want to call them, and that would include a bunch of different products that would be in that box that you would get on a monthly basis. Walmart has launched a similar service called Goodies, I guess it's Goodies Company, a social-powered subscription service. They have a certain number of people who are subscribers for $7 a month. You get a box of gourmet, organic, ethnic, and specialty snacks hand-selected by employees who are beta testing with about 3,000 users. That's at least the number at the beginning of June. So the idea, again, is that companies could sign on to be part of this, maybe to have almost like a little group who would be able to test their products and see how they like them. That's one reason a company would be involved. And as far as a user getting involved, you can get points and discounts on these boxes, and you get, I guess, the more stuff you review, the more advantageous it can be for you to be part of this. So just an interesting move. And like I said, I think this is a growing trend as far as these subscription services. I've seen them for makeup and other products, but this is probably the first time I've seen them for specialty foods like this.
Yeah, I see a lot of this too. How does the brand Walmart sit with you, Amber? You know, because I know that some people are like, I love Walmart. I got a Walmart close to me. It's great. And other people say, oh, Walmart, they're too big. Therefore, they're evil.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's, of course, you know, my initial reaction is that they are so big. There have been plenty of stories about them not necessarily taking care of their employees as well as they should. And it was interesting when I went to the Goodies site. If you click on that link, you'll see that it looks nothing like Walmart. In fact, Walmart really isn't front and center. So I'm not saying that they're hiding the brand of Walmart, but it does seem like it's a standalone thing as far as the way they're trying to push it out there in the social space. And that could be one of the reasons, Sarah, is they want to really have this as something that is somewhat separate and maybe more appealing to the social media community. So regardless of my personal feelings about Walmart, I think projects like this can be kind of neat for people who are really into certain types of things and like the subscription idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, you might say Walmart, I never use something like this, or you don't have a problem. And that's it just depends on the person. But I really do like the whole sort of like monthly goodie box type of
thing. I do
too. Because it's like there's an element of surprise. I used to subscribe to this service called Foodzie. This couple that lives in San Francisco put it on, and each month it would be a really sort of eclectic mix of, you know, like specialty jam from Maine, and the people who made the jam would have this really neat store, you know. It's like I used to love, like, ooh, look at the, and everything was kind of presented nicely, and it was obviously curated with care, and I really enjoyed that. Now, I have not seen the Goodies Company a box of gourmet foods from Walmart, but, you know, it's the same idea, right? If you're opening up and you're like, oh, neat, I've never tried this before, and then you have it and you're like, that's the best, and then that might be something that you end up wanting to buy more regularly. And even that sort of departure from the Walmart brand, I can see why they do that, because people go, Walmart, I don't think of specialty food from Walmart. But if that's something that they can get into successfully, then I can understand why they'd want to.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, I think it makes some sense for them. And it seems, and I could be wrong about this, but it seems like Walmart is really trying to go after that audience more and more that buys organic food and specialty foods, and they're realizing that it's a growing trend and they want a piece of it. So having a standalone service like this is a great little test experiment for them to get some feedback on those products.
Wow, Scooter X is saying the Walmart Supercenter here near him has a McDonald's inside and a McDonald's in the parking lot. What?
That's a lot.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of McDonald's.
Grant 11 says our Walmart has a McDonald's and a Taco Bell. Well, yeah. So it's all sorts of food. it's like food at one end of the spectrum, and then food at another entirely other end of the spectrum. So
yes.
Walmart is
different quality, perhaps.
Truly. Wanting to be every store to everyone.
Everything to everyone. Good luck.
Hey, they should buy Hostess and just call it a day.
Yeah, exactly.
We mentioned in our previous show, poor Hostess is not doing so well. We might be saying goodbye to Twinkies. So, Walmart. I'm sure they've thought about it. They probably have the money. Reminder that we love hearing from all of you. Getting your feedback each week helps us build the best show possible, because you guys find stuff that we don't find. It's really fun to share and bounce ideas off each other. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 2626-SOCIAL. That's 2626, SOCIAL, on your number pad. It's our Google voicemail box. So Amber and I aren't actually going to answer, but we do listen to each and every voicemail. Sometimes they're a little bit weird. Sometimes you sing or you giggle and hang up, or sometimes it's really, really great feedback, but it's like 5 minutes long. And it's, you can sort of think about it like the length of a really successful viral video, right? It's like 30 seconds or less makes it really easy for us to roll into the show. So, if you want to send us a voicemail, that's great. You could always record a video as well and upload it somewhere and send us the link to that video. We love videos, so you're that much more likely to get on the show if you send us a video. There, I said it. Okay, Amber, get ready for your Rad or Fad, where I take a moment to thank Ford for being our last but not least sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. Sync in Ford cars is the way of the future. And you might say, I sync stuff all the time. Ford doesn't do anything much cooler than what, you know, other services can do, but it is, because as you're driving along in your car, you're very busy, it's raining, it's dark. I mean, you have got to be paying attention to the road, right? You cannot be fiddling with your multitude of gadgets that are over in the passenger seat. That would be dangerous. That would be irresponsible. You can't do it. But Ford knows that. And Ford not only wants you to be safe, but wants your onboard experience to be awesome. For example, you can browse your music collection a variety of ways. If you've got this new album, you go ahead and say the name of the album. If you like this new artist, You can say Ellie Goulding, right? And one of her, you can get a list of her songs and albums up there. You can if you have a playlist, if you're a playlist person, you can play one of those. You can just play a particular song title. You can play a song title over and over, all using voice commands. That's the key in Ford vehicles, is that voice-activated controls is the way to go. You can make a call. You can listen to music. You know, you can play books. I mean, this is it's really, really awesome. You can listen to entertainment on lots of devices, too. So, you know, I mean, of course, we all have devices. You say, well, all my music is on my iPod or, you know, that sort of thing. That's okay. On your smartphone, you can connect via Bluetooth. You can just stream all your music right to your awesome stereo speaker system in your Ford using Sync. You can plug in a USB drive. It's really easy. It's just plug it in. It's out of the way, and your Ford car can read and play anything that's off that drive. An MP3 player, again, I said iPod, an iPad would work just as well. iTunes tagging is really awesome for those of us who end up hearing songs and you want to download them and play them on iTunes later and build your own playlist. Available Sync with My Ford Touch and HD radio technology uses that, so you can tag a song that you like. You're out and about, you're driving along, you're like, oh, I love this. You go ahead and tag that. Then you transfer that info to your iPod. It's seamless. It's not like you have to physically transfer anything. It just does it for you. And then you can buy that song from iTunes later on when you think about it again. So that's really cool. I mean, this is just a couple of the ways that Ford is really just pushing the envelope when it comes to an amazing experience that's convenient and really, really cool at the same time. Ford offers Sync on every 2012, 2013 Ford vehicle that's sold in the United States, including the 2012 Ford Focus. That is a popular vehicle. I see more and more of them on my commute to and from the old Twit Brick House. You can learn more about what Ford is doing and other technologies that Ford is working on as well at Ford.com/technology. Or you could test drive a Ford, really. I mean, put Sync to the test. You know who has a Ford? My old friend Martin Sargent. He got himself a Ford Fusion. That's all he talks about is his Sync. He was in my car the other day because he was one of my co-hosts on Twit. I filled in for Leo Laporte. And I have a Saab, and, you know, it's not totally a piece of junk yet, but he kept talking about, well, you know what the Fusion does? What's really cool about the Fusion? And I, you know, almost threw him out the window after a while. But again, he has a point, right? I'm just jealous. That's the truth. Ford.com/technology is where you learn more about what Ford is doing to impress us. And thanks to Ford for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Amber, I'm a little scared of what you might have for us, Sarah, on Radderfad.
Based. Sarah,
yes,
you should be. You should be very, very afraid. Now, I should preface this with the fact that, you know what? I host a show called App Central, and we have a segment where we interview celebrities who've launched new apps. And sometimes the apps are kind of cool. This is not the case with this one. This is an app from Tyra Banks, and the app is called Smize Yourself. Apparently, smizing is a term she made up on her very popular reality show where you judge models, or they judge themselves. I don't really know how it works because I don't watch a lot of reality television. So maybe that's
she basically judges women on how pretty they are and how well they photograph.
Okay, perfect. So this app makes great sense then. And the idea being with this app, what it does is you take a picture of yourself, and it will kind of distort your face a little bit, particularly around the eyes. So it looks like your eyes are smiling and you have this really sexy look. So you could potentially email some of these photos if you were sexting someone, or you could post them on Facebook or Twitter, and you would get constant reassurance from Tyra, saying things like you look fierce and all of these other things to try to encourage you along the way. I've read a few different articles about this. Probably the funniest was on New York Magazine, where the title is, I tried Tyra's Smize Yourself app so you never ever have to. Oh. And I don't think it gets better than that, because you end up looking like a freakish, weird weird elf or something because of the way it stretches your face. It's so, so bizarre. It's so, so, so bizarre. And you know what? It gets even worse, Sarah. You have to pay $1.99 to do this to your face.
No.
Yes, yes, yes. I kid you not.
Oh.
And here's the thing. You know, I, over the years, being familiar with some of the things Tyra has done, most recently, she's talked a lot about body image because she's been, attacked before about going through periods where she's gained weight. And she's really come out as an advocate for women, you know, of any shape or size. And the fact that she would launch an app that distorts your face to look sexier to me just seems to go the totally opposite direction of what she's trying to convey with her brand as far as women standing up for themselves and feeling good about how they look. So why do you need the distortion, and why does she need to make $1.99 off it?
MacArthur.
Don't like it at all.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You know, it's the whole smizing thing, because I have seen episodes of America's Next Top Model, which is her franchise show that's been running for like a million years. And she does say, you know, her whole thing is that she's got this trick, right? That it's like you're supposed to, you know, you have like, you smile a certain way, but, you know, you can smile and like your eyes, you might look dead. Like you don't really mean it, you know? And so you're supposed to like, but I don't feel like most people look good doing that at all. I mean, she's a very beautiful woman, but it's like, all right, well, you kind of just look a little insane at the same time. That's just her look, right? So I don't know. It's just, it's sort of like a silly thing to try to tell somebody, look exactly the way that I do. But yeah, I'm with you for this. It's like, who wants to do, I don't know.
The only thing that I think can make sense is if this is a total publicity stunt. You know, this woman, more than anyone, I think, you know, I respect the way she's been able to capture the spotlight and during many different times, and this is no exception. I've seen this app. It was all over the place as far as people talking about it. So if she wanted to do something that was absolutely outrageous and kind of shocked people and was just bizarre and weird, she has succeeded. But I don't think it's rad in any way.
No, I agree. It's dumb. This is the sort of thing where, you know, and I, believe me, dumb photo apps are my thing. I am totally cool with them. You know, I'll play with them for 5 minutes. No problem. You know, hey, you got to fill up an episode of i5 somehow. It's not like, oh, this is looks like it's badly made or whatever. But it's like, it's a gimmick, right? Let's say Tyra Banks is like your favorite model ever or something, or you just think it's like, ooh, look, you look like an alien. Hey, look at this picture of me. It's like, you're not going to use it more than...
It's bizarre.
Yeah, once or
twice. Sarah, you should do a new show called i5 Losers.
Maybe I should.
And it will be all the crappiest apps out there, because as you know, there's a lot of really crappy stuff.
Amber, I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
I think you should do it.
Or maybe like once every couple of months, you know, it could be like a special episode of i5 called, you know.
Losers.
Yeah.
Well, that's mean, but.
Well, I mean, but if they're terrible, then. The thing is, there's a lot of crappy apps out there. You're right.
There's a lot of crappy apps, like weird apps. We just started a segment on App Central called Appdiculous and the most ridiculous apps on the internet. We stole that from one of my favorite people from CNN, Anderson Cooper, because he has the ridiculous. So we decided to have a little fun with that. But seriously, you know, there you could easily find 5 apps on a regular basis that are just bizarre. I mean, the things people think of and they charge for them and people buy them, I don't know. I need to move to a new planet.
Yeah, especially the ones that charge, you know, because sometimes somebody will float an app by me, or I don't know, I come across an article or something and it's like, I don't know, that sounds interesting, right? The premise is like, that sounds cool. And you download it and they're often not free and you spend an hour, and at the end of the hour, you're like, this is just sucky. It's not, I don't want to recommend this to anybody, but I just wasted all this time. So you end up, it's just, you know, so you end up sort of being like angry, like, ugh, my rage should go somewhere. So maybe i5 Losers is not the worst idea ever.
I like it.
Thank you, Amber.
I like it, Sarah.
I thought you needed a guest to launch another show on the Twit Network, so now I've got it. It'll be all negativity all the time.
I'll send you as much stuff as you need.
Please do. All right, well, as far as this show goes, we have reached the end of our hour. Thanks to everybody who watched live, who's watching after the Thanksgiving weekend. Again, we're taping the show before the holiday in an effort to get a little bit ahead, because we're going to come up against some crazy holiday schedules. but you should be watching it unless you're watching live after the Thanksgiving holiday. So if you're if you enjoyed the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., hope you had a great one. And thanks for coming back and watching the Social Hour. And Amber, I don't know, what do you have coming up in the month of December? Are you going to be traveling? Are you going to be? You're going down to Florida, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to go down to Florida for a few weeks over the Christmas holidays, and I'm very much looking forward to that because it's always nice to get out of the cold weather and spend some time with the family. So that should be good. But I'll still be online, Sarah.
Good.
So no need to work.
Good. I'd miss you too much. If I can't find you online, I only see you in person, what, once a year if I'm lucky. So
once every 5 years.
Once every, actually just once. I mean, I once might never every. See you again. Now I'm like, no, no. It should be once a year. Because
yeah,
we had so much fun. But yeah. So, all right, everybody. That's it for us. Thanks for watching the Social Hour. Reminder, we're live on Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. You can go to our website and catch up with all of our past episodes, subscription links, links to any of the stories that we talk about in the show. If you want to revisit anything at twit.tv/TSH. You can find us in iTunes. We are easy to, we're on YouTube. Amber and I send out links. I mean, We're all over the internet.
But
until next time, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and we'll see you soon.